friends, and welcome to episode 73 of Did You Bring the Hummus podcast. I'm Kimberly, your host, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Did You Bring the Hummus is a podcast to help you go vegan. Most importantly, we'll talk about how to embrace this meaningful decision with fervor and fun. Episodes post every Monday on your favorite podcast app. Before we get started, I have one very important question for you. Did you bring the hummus? Today, I am joined by Ray Ortega, the Mad Cookie Man. Ray is a pioneer in the plant-based sector with over 30 years of experience. In 1994, he founded the Alternative Baking Company, one of the first vegan cookie brands on the market, which generated $1 million in sales in 1995. In 1997, he founded Sunflower Baking Company to create new flavors, tastes, textures, and nutrition products with a longer shelf life and higher profit margins. Sunflower Baking produces raw and baked gluten-free cookies free of animal products. It also provides co-packing, product development, consulting, testing, nutrition facts, graphic design, and wrapping in small batches. Clients include Continental Airlines, Sodexo Marriott Food Service, and Whole Foods. The company supports Farm Sanctuary, the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, ASPCA, and In Defense of Animals, IDA. Ray owned Garden to Grill, a vegan restaurant, for 5 years. With extensive knowledge across the entire product lifecycle, he is an experienced formulator within the industry. He's designed 3 facilities and has sold millions of vegan cookies, keeping eggs and dairy out of the mouths of many. Besides owning 5 plant-based brands, he has also published 2 children's books and is an expert at cannabis infusion for topical and edible products. Ray is a lot of fun to chat with. As you'll hear in this episode, we do a lot of laughing. But it's not all silly. Ray shares how health issues led him to veganism, how our cultures can define us, tough business decisions, and connecting with the spiritual side of veganism. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, there's some silliness. Wait until you hear us bond over opening cans of cat food. Oh, and I drop a strategically placed F-bomb when talking about sunflower baking cookies. Hey, Ray, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kim.
I'm really glad to have you here. So my very first question for you, well, it's not really phrased like a question. It's more like a tell me. Tell me about your vegan journey.
Well, my vegan journey, you know, I'm not sure if it's so unique, but it could be in some ways. My vegan journey particularly started when I was very young and I didn't even know that this was happening to me. I didn't know that I was embarrassed to be even a vegetarian because of my culture. It does not allow me to be anything other than what it's supposed to be, which is you're supposed to eat pork and have eggs in the morning and have chicken at nighttime. This is your life. So at a very young age, I was getting sick all the time. So I found some medical books at a very young age by accident. So, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to find out why I'm sick. I didn't know. I thought I was sick. I mean, it seemed at the time, you know, I was 13 or so, 12 or 13. It seemed like nobody else seemed to be sick like me. So I was like, So I stopped eating eggs after reading some information about the digestive system and the endocrine system. Between the time when I got the books and I got a new set of books when I was about 14, I started reading about how the body functioned. So you have to understand, I had no idea that I was going to become this guy. You know what I mean? You don't know. No. I don't know about you, but this is 1994, 93, when I started to be vegan. You don't know what's going to happen. I'm thinking back and thinking, oh my gosh, this is so strange. This is like, I'm almost embarrassed because I didn't want to tell anybody. So when I stopped eating eggs after understanding and reading a lot more about it, I stopped eating eggs, and then I realized, oh no, eggs is in everything that I love. Everything.
Yeah.
It's in pancakes, muffins, of course, my favorite thing in the world, cookies, cakes. Croissants. I used to love croissants. You know, I was an overeater. There's no doubt about it. I was pushing at the time before I became vegan. I was pushing 295, and I was super, super sick all the time. And I didn't know, you know, I just thought I was natural to be sick. So I between when I stopped eating eggs at 16 and then between 16 and 22, 23, I that's when I did my self-discovery, read more about it, and became vegetarian first. I think it's very common too. I'm noticing people become vegetarian first. That's not. I've heard people go cold turkey, you know, vegan, but I mean, in some ways I did too, but I was only vegetarian for about 6 months. And then when the weight came off, when 65 pounds came off, then I didn't even really notice. And then, but I started feeling better. I feel better. You know, I'm feeling good, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but you don't really know until you're like, oh, there's still something wrong with me. And I was still eating cheese. I think I was still eating chicken before I was vegan. And then, I just all of a sudden I became one of those people, and I had to get a job at a co-op because I didn't feel like when I became vegan that I didn't feel like I belonged in society anymore. I was very alone, you know, and I think this goes, I see this so funny now, and I love all you guys for putting yourselves out there for doing this, but I think it's far different than it used to be for me, because I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to eat. I didn't know what a vegan was, you know? Mm-hmm. My first few, the reason why I lost so much weight so fast in particular is because I was just eating top ramen. The only thing I knew that was vegan, top ramen, bread, and oats every day over. I was like, I'm going to do this. Yeah. That's all I'm going to do. I'm fight the man. Fight the cattle guys. I was so pissed. I was so mad. I remember being so mad. And that's why I do this whole mad cookie thing, because I was so pissed that I felt so fooled. I was felt like, gosh, the society really pulled the wool over my eyes. You know what I mean? I was like, what is wrong with me? But it's not what was wrong with me. It was what wrong with the society. Society was pushing and prodding for us to spend money to buy food, to eat junky, and to do all that stuff, you know, to be up to live and get your protein, and dairy was good for you. You know, I was around when the milk, got milk was, you know, when I was younger, but you know, so I started to figure it out. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell. If you have any more questions, I tend to go on, but I guess I'm so passionate. I love the story so much. I do love telling the story.
Yeah.
Cause I want people to know, I want people to feel some kind of association and some mics from my experience, because everyone's being fooled. We're all being fooled. We were all fooled. Everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. You may not feel like you were fooled, but I don't care what you say. The bottom line is, if you don't eat healthy, you're going to die sooner, and you're going to be tortured in the meantime.
Yeah.
I don't know how long you've been vegan for.
I've been vegan since 2015, and I went vegetarian in 2001.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what made you become vegan? This is my interview with you now.
It's fun to go back and forth. I always knew that vegan was the end goal, and really? I just made a lot of excuses, I guess. You know, at first when I went vegetarian overnight, and I didn't know how to cook. I didn't eat vegetables. So I ate a lot of pasta smothered in cheese. So that was kind of, wow. And I didn't have enough information about the dairy industry at that point to be like, to be, you know, emotionally aware of what I was doing. Cause I was so emotional about everything else. And then I kept learning, and I had even, the only thing that literally kept me from saying like I'm vegan was the fact that I was eating cheese, because everything else in my life was vegan. I got rid of all my leather
right?
My leather shoes and sneakers,
your,
my handbag.
Your leather shoes?
Yeah.
Leather
shoes. Yeah, I know what those are. It's almost Christmas. Care. I've got the Grinch on my mind. But yeah, so I finally was like, this is enough. And I just woke up one day and was like, well, here it is. I'm vegan now.
And yeah. I think I kind of did the same thing. I took a pact with a friend at the time when I was learning vegan baking, And I remember sneakily walking back into the back room where we eat, and I had my last pizza bagel with cheese, fully loaded with cheese. And I was like, I swear I remember looking at it thinking, I think I got to do this. I got to see if what's going to happen if I don't continue with this. And lo and behold, I had no idea. So what happens is, and I don't know if it was the same thing with you or everybody, but then you, the next day happens, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to eat. And then I found the trick for being vegan was to keep full and to not be around. I'm very weak. I think part, I don't know, cheese, you know, it's pretty strong stuff. Oh, you know what I mean? So, and I'm the reason why I know this, especially after 30 years, it is the common, the most, the one, number one thing that people say that they don't want.
Yeah. Oh, I can never give up cheese.
I never get a cheese. I was so pissed when I was young, about that age or something like that. I had a girlfriend tell me, I'm vegetarian, and I didn't really, I mean, I knew, but I didn't know. I was maybe 15 at the time. And I was so pissed because I thought she was going to try to take my meat away. So now I hold that anger in me. I hold that feeling. I remember it very well. And because I was so angry, and it's almost a shame, but I'm glad I went through it because I know now what other people think when I come around, and people have the start to feel the guilt about cheese and meat. Oh, you know, I think when I walk in the room, everyone always gives me an excuse of, you know, well, you know, I hardly eat meat, you know,
yes. I don't eat that much meat. I just heard that yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So I think the funny thing is the experience that we all have individually is important to use or to feel for other people, to feel like, hey, you know, I understand, you know, I think that because I don't want to feel like I'm judging them, because in some ways we are, but in other ways we're like, you know, hey, you know, give, you know, just try to understand, you know, there's different ways of getting to people. And I think there's two specific ways. One is food and one is through the animals. And interestingly enough, it's like a poll that I take. When I meet people, like, why are you vegan? You know, that's why I want to know. You know, I'm so biased on my own end because I was trying to save my own ass that I didn't even know for about 2 years how the processing was for animal products. And that's what made me more curious about being in business with what I was doing, because I didn't realize is how horrible I see it now, especially I still see it because of the food business that I'm in allows me to see, I have to shop for products or equipment. I mean, and I, you know, two of the pieces of equipment that I have are, one is a hamburger maker and another one is a sausage stuffer. So they're designed for meat. And I bought 30 years ago, a long time ago, but unfortunately it always passes my eyes to see the chickens being hung up, the cows being, you know, processed. And it's really kind of I've seen enough of it, but it does empower me. I have to admit it does, because it just pisses me off more.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me more, now it's a kind of a different, so I did it for myself. Now it's time to not just do it for others, so to speak. And I think that we, like yourself, even can be an influence on others. You have to find what that pinpoint is with these people, without being sensitive or upsetting them.
Yeah.
Once you upset them and you try to take away their cheese, then it's all almost, you know, but you plant the seed, and they, if they're smart, they'll get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I
was saying. Yeah. You know, as much as I wish that I had just gone vegan when I went vegetarian back in 2001, part of me is, I don't know if thankful is the word for it, because then I think about all of the death I was part of just eating as much cheese as I did. But when I do talk to people who are curious about veganism or want to know why I did it, or they say things like, but I could just never give up cheese. I can tell them I didn't think so either. And like, here I am, I've done it and it's been years and I'm okay. And I've found other options and things that make me happy, you know, to have, you know, I can still eat things like pizza and baked ziti and not feel like, oh, I'm poor me. Cheese. Yeah, poor me.
No, I've come full circle. It's been a long time. 30 is in my mind is a long time.
Yeah.
So what's happened to me, I've come full circle with not even caring anymore. Mm-hmm. Not even caring if there's something or a substance like cheese on something.
Yeah.
Because I'm fine with it now. I'm fine with just like, okay, you know, I mean, although I'll have it when I have it, like a day of cheese pizza or, you know, I mean, but do I miss it? I don't think I miss it. I probably did for the first couple years, just, mm-hmm. you know, just dwelling on it.
Yeah. But
for the most part, you have to retrain yourself,
yes.
You know? You have to, and then, you know, I love the funny thing is the name of your podcast that you bring to him is, I'll tell you, that says it all, if you ask me, you know, because it's like, because when I started, I was that guy. You know, mm-hmm. It's got to bring the hummus. It's got to bring the hummus and crackers. Because Guess what? You'll have nothing else to eat.
Exactly.
Family functions. You know? You're not going to eat anything else, man. Mm. Crackers and hummus is all your best friend right there. You know, I went to Disneyland one time when I was probably 98, 99 or something like that. I went by myself just to go see it and just see if I could get my cookies in at the time. And of course, all they had there was fries and popcorn. That's mm-hmm. all I had.
Yep.
No, yeah. Not even hummus. Those suckers.
Unbelievable.
You know, I know. What's wrong with people?
We've come a long way, though, right? I mean, even.
Jeez.
You know, just the. Oh, there's been.
You're 30 years old yourself? You're not even very
old.
Oh,
you're so kind.
How old are you? Seriously. You're just born. 43. You're 43?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say you're just born when I became vegan. Like.
Oh, aren't you sweet? yeah. So, you know, let's talk about your business. So you're the cookie man. Tell me all about the cookies, and then I'm going to tell the listeners all about the cookies.
Yeah. You know, so I started my first company, Alternative Baking Company. I'm the original owner and founder. And I developed all those cookies on my own by myself. For about a year, and then I ended up getting partners, which I regret. I was naive, and I was just so happy to not be sick anymore that I let other people control my business, and I should never have done that. But within the first 3 years, I didn't, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was doing vegan. This, you have to think about this for a minute. I was making vegan cookies. In 1994, 95, 96.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep in mind that that was a huge risk. Yeah. You know, it was I had no idea I'd even sell one. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember thinking, but at the same time, I didn't care. I was like, you know what? I don't care if I fail or succeed, but you know what? I was so on go and so on fire because I'd felt like I had a lot of time being tortured by being sick and not have had a cookie since I was 16. So it was like 7 years that I had not had a cookie. So I felt like I had a lot of catching up to do. And I was pissed anyway. I was just mad about everything. In fact, when I became vegan, I remember that same weekend, I literally took everything that was leather and sold it like that next weekend because something happened to me inside me said, you know, these are all animal products. So I thought to myself, oh, that's it for the animal products, out, got to get them out. I had hundreds, my jackets were hundreds of dollars, my couches were thousands of dollars, my shoes were, you know, $100. I had all this expensive leather stuff, but I said, you know what, I didn't care. I was like giving the finger to all the leather people, you know, I was just like, there you go. Okay. Yeah. I was pissed. I don't know if people will see this visually, but I'm not doing the middle finger. But I was super, I still, you know, it's really weird, Kimberly. I still have the feeling inside me of what happened to me, meaning the anger or the I don't know what it is. Just the passion. I'm not sure what you want to call. And it's sad. And but at the same time, I'm so grateful. And that's the funny thing is, like, I am, although I wish I had become vegan sooner, it would have probably, it could not have physically happened considering the way I grew up. I would have been laughed at, teased, and poked at. People would have thought I was stupid and what cult I was. I mean, it would have been a mess. Yeah. You know, I think, I don't know if you had any kind of support when you started, but I had zero support. I thought I was I was the loneliest guy in the world. You know, I mean, you know, I had, I think I was married at the time, but I was very alone. I was just by myself. When you become vegan, something else happens. The whole world parts. And I wanted to tell my friends and my family, and they didn't want to hear it. Nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody wants, because you know why? Because then if you rub off on them, you know, they're going to have to stop eating cheese too.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I don't like that.
I noticed that. It's really interesting. So I'm in a Toastmasters club and I talk about veganism all the time. And because I have a lot going on with the podcast and the podcast came out of a Toastmasters project, I mention it during speeches or if I'm doing inspiration or even during, I'm currently the president. So even during my business updates, I'll mention, hey, like I've been interviewed and practicing table topics got me to be able to have this type of conversation, or I'll mention the podcast and then I'll give speeches about veganism. And I can see some of the members are like, oh, I didn't sign up for this. I wasn't ready to hear this.
It's that guilt inside. I'm telling you right now, you're a walking vegan propaganda, so to speak, I guess you could say, in some ways. People don't want, they don't want to let go. You don't, you didn't want to let go. I didn't want to let go.
Right. I'm yeah.
Well, there's yeah.
I didn't do it. I didn't go vegetarian and then go vegan because I grew up not liking the taste of the food I grew up on.
That's for sure, right?
What's that?
That's for sure. It's phenomenal. Yeah. All the food that.
Yeah. You know. And I barely ate a vegetable. My family was supportive when I said I was going vegetarian, but they were like, this isn't going to last. You don't eat vegetables. So phase. They were like, great, do it, but we'll see.
And yeah.
Yeah.
How big is your family?
It's just my parents and my brother and I. Okay. And so we didn't have, and you know, I've got some like extended like aunts and cousins and stuff, but not in the day-to-day kind of life. So yeah, my day-to-day was very much just like my brother ate more vegetables than me and he has zero interest in coming yeah. away. Yeah.
That's yeah. funny. What about schoolmates or friends? I mean, it almost looks like you just got out of high school, like I said, but it can't have been that long ago that you had friends in high school or whatever. So it hasn't been that. So it's been since you were out of high school, but did you keep any friends? Do you have any friends at all? I mean, what happened when you became vegan? You had to have, people had to have dropped off. They dropped off for me.
Yeah, you for know? Sure. And
that meme is so true. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No. This is supposed to be about you.
But... No, it's okay. No, I don't like it always about me.
But I, when I was still vegetarian, even I went camping with a woman who was, she was then my best friend. We were probably 25-ish. And it was she and I, my brother, her brother, and a bunch of his friends and her boyfriend. And I was the only vegetarian. And they were all taking turns making food or cleaning dishes. And they were like, Kimberly, it's your turn to wash dishes. And I was like, I told you guys, I don't touch animal products on plates. I don't prepare animal products. And, you know, I didn't know how to cook. I only knew now at that point how to make vegetable things. I didn't know how to cook even if I wanted to. And they were so angry. It ruined the rest of the trip. They were so mad at me.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. That's funny you should say that because I'm a guy. I'm a big guy. And I don't care if people want to be mad at me. I used to be the turkey cutter, when every year since I was up until I was vegan, vegetarian, at least, I was the guy who they would call on to cut the turkey. Hey, Ray, you going to cut turkey? Hey, you going to cut turkey? Every year. And then finally, I remember going to these, I have a huge family. Even though I have one full brother and two half brothers, my extended family is huge. Mm. My dad, mom, my dad has 16 brothers and sisters. My mom has 9 brothers and sisters. There are hundreds of them. There's ones that I don't even know. I don't even bother anymore going to these places. I don't know more than half of them. But I used to be the turkey cutter guy. But when I stopped, and everyone knew I was trying to do this new thing, be vegan. I was trying to be vegan, but they would still ask me. I'm like, hello.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I wasn't a dishwasher anyway for the most part, but I would, I didn't want to touch it. I completely agree with you. I don't want it on my plate. I'm sorry, world. I don't want it on my fork. I don't want it on my hands. I don't want to accidentally brush up. Maybe I'm too strict, but you know what? After understanding the science behind the bacteria and the stuff that's on it, let alone the fat, I was freaked. And that's really the reason why I went vegan, was because of the science the chemistry of food, of how it digested, and the endocrine system connection. That was it for me. When I saw the science behind the whole thing and how it worked, I was convinced that's what made me vegan. That 100% wasn't the animals. It was my health, so to speak. My health inspired, but it was for the most part. So even now these days, I literally physically will not touch. I don't want anything to do with it. I have to open up cat food sometime. I avoid it like the plague almost. I'm like, God, I don't touch this stuff. These cats, I understand, but they have to eat it. But I feel sorry for everybody in the picture, but the cats love it. That's what cats do,
Yep. Same. Twice a day, I'm like, as I open the can.
It stinks so bad. Damn cats.
Yeah, it like splashes sometimes. You open it.
Oh, don't say the splash. Ugh. Oh, the lid.
Yes.
Oh gosh, we're freaked out about it. Believe me, it sounds extreme, but it's the truth. I don't want it to touch, come near my face, and nothing. Okay, I'm like, oh my god, I want nothing to do with it. Now I'm laughing. We're laughing. I look at it. It is so stupid, but so true. I'm not touching. You should see what I have to do, acrobats. I go super slow.
Yep.
Like hitting that kid. Okay. Sorry. It's funny though.
So I want to go back to the cookies.
Yeah.
So you'd missed cookies for 7 years, and you started, like, where did you find the inspiration to just start making cookies? Like, you weren't already a trained chef or something. Like, where does this come from?
I was in construction. In fact, I'd grown up sort of a mechanic. I was a very, very young age. I had my own cars. I built my own motors. I just did all, I was very mechanically inclined. Then I got into construction. But the one thing I grew up with, and I think we all kind of did, maybe you didn't, I don't know. I think everyone grows up with those chubs, those tubes that Pillsbury makes. And then you open them and you cut them and you put them on the tray and then you bake them. That was huge for me. That was my treat. That was something I always, my go-to treat, like, okay, here's my $1.99. Give me a chub. I probably kept them in business for the longest time. So you have to come to the realization when you do these types of things, what's going to happen, the repercussions of not eating. Food is my happiness. I think food is a lot of people's happiness. That was my happiness. I think that my cookies were my happiness. Mm. And it was almost like, I remember having a funeral. And you have to come, it's so weird to explain. It's almost emotional because I feel so, it was such a strange thing for me to realize that I could not have cookies anymore. And I think that's the driving factor in why I started the cookies. Because the second that I found this cookie, I was shopping at a co-op because, you know, I became vegetarian. So I had to go to a store that was related to health. So now she go to a health food store. So the Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op, I found a cookie there. I bought them all. I'd buy them all continuously. Every day I'd go back and they'd sometimes not have them. Sometimes they would. So I'd like, so I got a little frustrated and I said, I got to get a job here. Cause I was off for a year because the Iraqi war was over. I think it was, I'd gotten out of construction. I was sick of it. Things were just going to hell. So I got a job at the co-op through a friend of mine. And there, because I, you know, I didn't care at the, I was like, I don't care. I'm going to, you know, it was, I didn't think it was not beneath me, so to speak, but the hours were tough, man. It was between 9 and 3 in the morning. I was like, I'm going to take it because this is how bad I wanted to have a cookie, you know? And I thought so I used to just make, I learned and I was taught by someone who worked there how to be a vegan baby. But the problem was, it wasn't a commercial use. It was, I don't know if you knew this, but like the Toll House cookies, they'll get hard in a day. They'll get hard in a couple of days. Okay. They won't last a week. They don't last a week around me because I'll eat them. But for the most part, but now you, the cookies that you make in a chub, they will only have a couple of days on them.
Okay.
So I had to figure out, well, you know, I had to understand the science of it. So damn, I was already so into the chemistry of food science because of what I had been reading. It was like it was a natural fit for me to figure this out. I was like, okay, figure this out. So that's when I started Alternative Baking Company. And then it just really just took off. I was working at the place. I only had a job there for 9 months, but I was very determined. So I started buying all the ingredients through the same source that the co-op was buying. And then I had to quit because it was just becoming too much for me to do everything. And I rented a kitchen that was nearby, a culinary kitchen. And then it was still really tough to work 9 to 4 in the morning, 5, 6 in the morning. And then, cause I had to get up, wrap the cookies, label them. I did everything myself. I started the business with less than by myself, $5,000.
Yeah.
But then, I got some partners and who weren't aligned with my, with the way that things were going for me at the time. What's the word? They weren't aligned with my, what's the word that I'm looking for? We weren't on the same page, so to speak. I can't think of it right now. So I couldn't get along with them because I was like, hey, that's not right. I don't want to do this. I don't do that. And I even had a doubt of putting vegan on the packaging, but I had a doubt for like a second, but I thought, oh, maybe you're right. You know, I'm starting this new venture and putting the word vegan on my packaging. I don't know. You know, this is keep in mind, 1994, we're not where we are today. That's for sure. You know what I mean? But, I said, F it. I'm going to keep it on. I don't care what anybody says. Because I just let that thing that was inside of me was pissed that I don't know if it's my spirit or I don't know what it was, who was pissed that was not going to let things go that way again. It was like, you're not going back. You might as well just go forward, own this whole thing, own it. You know, you have to own what you are. It's true. I think when you become vegan, you have to own it. If you're going to jump in, you know, all these people who go back from being vegan always surprises me. Always. Yeah. I mean, that shocks me. And it's so disappointing. I don't like calling people weak, but they may have their reasons. Hey, you know, one of the most common reasons is, I didn't feel like I got enough protein or my iron was low, blah, blah, blah. I said, I've been doing this for 30 freaking years, man. What really,
right?
You know, so even when sadly I lost the 95 pounds, you know, but when I got into vegan baking, I probably gained about 25 back. And I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, I had a lot of catching up to do, Kim. A lot of catching up to do. Okay.
Cookies are really good.
You don't even understand what it's like. I mean, maybe you do for fresh. I went absolutely bonkers because I didn't learn just to cook vegan cookies. I learned to bake vegan cookies. I was baking cakes and muffins and everything.
All
I was
the
like,
good stuff.
I just went nuts. I was like, oh my gosh. But you know, cookies was the most viable. It was, it made the most sense. It was the easiest to do. It was cheapest to get into. And that's how I got started.
So now it's not, you're not part of Alternative Baking Company. Now it's Sunflower Baking. That's Sunflower. Your company now.
Yes, my company.
Make sure that the listeners know that name.
Yes.
And I...
Make no mistake.
What's that?
Make no mistake.
That's right.
I always tell people, don't buy those anymore because they're, you know... Sorry.
But I was lucky enough to sample some of these Sunflower...
That's right.
...company cookies, and they are amazing.
Yes,
I loved every one of them, and I usually am kind of like gluten-free, like...
Yeah,
I don't want a gluten-free cookie, but I was very pleasantly surprised. So good. My favorite was the s'mores cookie.
Wow.
And the little espresso chocolate ones.
Yeah, the chocolate one. Hey, but you want to hear something funny? You know that attitude that you just said about gluten-free? Mm-hmm. I had that starting vegan. I had that. That was my first hurdle. It was like... Vegan? Ugh. So listen, I ended up, so I knew right then and there, I was like, shit, this is going to be a problem. So I thought to myself, I got to give away cookies. That's what I got to do. Mm. So that's how I got started. I'm not kidding. I have given away millions of cookies, millions, because I wanted everybody. I still want everybody in the world. I'm going to give away millions more. I want everyone in the world to try this and understand this is where you need to begin. If you're having a problem with giving up dessert, so to speak, this is the way to do it. The way to do it is find something that you love or that does taste good, stick to it and try to work with it. You know what I mean? Don't, you know, because you can't feel sad about going back with cheese and butter and eggs. I think that if you find equivalent, you're going to be good.
Yeah.
But it's funny you should say that, because so the gluten-free thing, that was another hurdle, believe it or not. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not just vegan, but I'm going to do gluten-free. Okay, you know, I must be crazy, but you know, but I was pretty confident, even though I think I went, my cookies have evolved for sure. I think they've gone through phases, and I think they're good, but I still think, can they be better? I don't know. I probably, I think this, what happened, and I always tell this to people, and you're looking at someone who used to eat about 800 cookies a year, okay? So when I started to I want you to think about that for a minute, okay? I want you to get, when we're done, I want you to think, 800 cookies a year, how many is that? You know, think about it, and so that was partly why I didn't make the cookie gluten-free because it was gluten-free. I made it for myself. I make everything for myself first. Yeah. And that's not out of selfish behavior, it's out of what is going to be good for you, what I think has worked and what tastes good to me. I mean, so it was a gamble. I started out with pinto bean flour. If you would have had to try those, that was a phase. But at the time, the only reason why I did pinto bean flour and rice flour was because there was no gluten-free oat flour at the time. Believe it or not. Is that weird? And you know, gluten-free, I don't know if you knew about gluten-free oats. The reason why they're not gluten-free is because they're grown in the same field as wheat. So that they don't consider them gluten-free.
Okay.
And not because they're not themselves gluten-free, because they are gluten-free, but because they are grown in the same field. So they have to be certified gluten-free.
Okay.
So then when that came out, I was awestruck with, oh my gosh, I've got to change this from pinto bean flour, which I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. It was okay. It was, I made better. But you know, that's the trend was, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to jump on the trend too.
Yeah. So
that was literally way before gluten-free became even something. And I just did it because I did it because my digestive system, I did it because of the way it was making me feel, the way that it was passing through my body. I needed something that was higher in protein, higher in fiber. And I loved oatmeal. I've always loved oatmeal. I owe my life to oatmeal because it saved me. So that's where I came up with it. But it's funny that you said gluten-free. you know? I'm like, you're the person that I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, you got me, because that was delicious.
Oh, good. It's a combination of sugar, fat, salt. Mmm, it's good. Mm. I love it. And wheat and gluten-free oats, which are my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, so good. I want to just quickly go back to something that you said, where you were talking about how you did this for you. And yeah. I love that, because if you look at other industries, even like you look at musicians or artists, their best work is always the thing where they said, I don't know, I wrote this story because I thought it was funny. I wrote this song because it made me feel something.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's those things that are always more powerful, that people always respond to, because it's so authentic and it's so true. Yeah. And you can just sense that when people create art for art's sake or to make money. And I do think that food is an art in and of itself.
Damn straight. Damn straight.
That it's just, you're doing it for money and people are, it isn't the same. It doesn't taste as good. Resonate. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've thought about this funny, oddly. I look at my cookies and all of them are little pieces of art.
Yeah.
I do, as strange as that sounds. You know, you have to, when you make so many of one thing, you start to really become attached to what it is and how it becomes and the pride of it. You know, you want people to be happy. You want people to love it. But I think that if you put in love in the whole thing, and I believe I've been more awake and enlightened in these last few years ever than I have in my life. And you know, I think, you know, people are at different stages of when they change their diet. They're spiritually, it's grabbing really a good hold of me now. I think the spirituality of being vegan has really, it's almost like I've crossed over from angry kind of to a full understanding of the wrath of the hate that I had is now love that I have for what I do. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a transition. It was a transition. It's always been a transition. And I never knew. The funny thing is I would never have guessed in my youth I would have become this. I didn't even know what I was going to become, but I was just one of those odd kids. I thought, I'm kind of an odd kid. You know, but whatever. Because I was like, I could do everything. I'm a jack of all trades. I design stuff. I'm insane. I published 2 kids' books. They're just things that I have to try to do these things. But cookies are going to be my legacy. You know what I mean? They're my legacy. I get all crazy and passionate. Like, oh, come on. No, I love this cookie. I love a cookie. Yeah. My life. Cookies.
And it's really wonderful, because you know, vegans, we're still such a small piece of the population.
Oh, hey, and to tell you, let me interrupt ahead. You there. I have to tell you something. When I started, it was 4%. It's now apparently only 6%.
In 30 years.
I wanted to throw that in. Okay. Yes. That's how small. So, yeah. Sorry for interrupting, but I had to throw that in because I was like, we've still got a lot of work to do.
We do. We really
sorry.
Do.
Forgive me.
No. But we're such a small part of the population. So that means that we are still going to places or being, you know, just out in the world where we still aren't able to just have whatever we're in the mood for necessarily, you know? And so now these cookies are such, I mean, here in the US anyway, cookies are such an emotional thing for so many people, and they represent birthdays and holidays and connection and family. And as a kid, even cookies are like, you know, you have cookies when you get home from school or you go to your friend's house and, you know, their parent gives you guys cookies as your after school snack. And there's all these times where without products like yours, these vegan kids don't get to have that same experience.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's just, food is just.
I love that. You're a good pitch person. You just really made me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
For your own cookies.
You're that bad. All right. Tell me more, please. I want to have these poor kids that can't have cookies. They can now.
That's my superpower.
I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right, Kim. Shoot. Yeah. That almost made me cry. Sorry.
It's really true. And I think I try to remember that when I talk to people who are curious about why I do what I do, but are like, but hang on, I'm not looking to be converted, you know?
Right.
I talk to them about all of the emotion around food because there is so much. And you even said it, that's how our conversation started. Your culture is so, you were so expected to eat a certain way, and everyone eats this way. And it's almost like you can't be fully in the family if you're not eating and participating in the food.
Yeah. Oh no, it's like a huge ordeal. It's funny because intermittent fasting. I've fasted in the last few years, and it's really got me closer to my spirit. And what I did notice is I started to realize, and you should try this too. Believe me, you'll be happy you did. You start to realize how big of a part food is in your life, because I'm an emotional eater, first of all. So what happens is over the years, I always remember having peanut butter and just straight peanut butter. And every time I would get upset, I would go to the peanut butter, you know, and it's because I was, we are emotionally tied to food,
yeah,
you know, and the society almost presses that on us. You know, and like, it's so funny you're saying this because you're really making me think of the family aspect of the food, how people gather around all the time, you know, even for these dinners, and so how important it is. And, you know, I mean, that's why I go to vegan Thanksgivings. That's why I go to vegan Christmas. That's why I go to vegan parties, you know, because it's almost, now, you know, I have my own thing now. You know, I'm not so alone anymore. Thank you for bringing that up. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. You're welcome.
I love that. I feel it right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Little moment for a little virtual hug.
Yeah. I know. Come here. Yeah. Come here. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Killing me here.
I'm just so happy that you're making cookies and that they're as good as they are, because they're fucking amazing. Yeah, it's my own podcast, so I can drop the F word every once in a while.
Okay. Believe me, I got plenty of them too. I will compare, you know what's funny is I will compare my cookies to what Apple products are. Steve Jobs and his people are so passionate about Apple. I have been a huge fan of Steve Jobs and his Apple products, but I think it's because I watched a program about how passionate people were about this, is because, you know what, he put the passion in his products. And I really put the passion in my products all the time, every day. It's just not a second that goes by that I don't really want someone to try these and be happy. Still today, I give free cookies out. I almost ask them to eat it in front of me just so I can see the look on their face, because I want to know if they're terrible. I want to know if people think they're terrible. I need to know, hey, if there's something wrong with them or they don't like them or why, because if it's, if I don't know that it's wrong, then I will be wrong and stay wrong forever. Because when I find out that I'm wrong, I usually like to fix the problem. I'm one of those kind of guys, you know. Yeah. But you know what? I'm not tooting my own horn, but I have sold millions of cookies. So I'm okay. So I think, you know, it's just part of maybe my ego for selling a lot of cookies is a big thing. But I love, in my mind, I love what I do. So I'm not ashamed for tooting my own horn when it comes to having done what I've done. This is why I'm coming out now with this whole thing. You've really, you know, it's funny is you've really almost, you've touched on an emotional feeling for me, and it's freaking me out. I have to admit, because it's just weird. You know, I didn't realize how emotionally tied I was to the cookies until you were kind of bringing it up. So sorry. I'm not going to cry yet though.
And you could if you wanted to.
I could cry. So I'm at the age now. Yeah. I'm secure with myself.
You know, one of the things I too am a big big fan of Apple products and those things, and I appreciate the ease of their use and the beauty that they have, and
Totally.
I'm just like, I'm all in on that, and I'm not willing to switch it up.
No way.
And I understand, like, when I think you, so when you said that, I started thinking about your cookies. Now, I'll admit, I don't have any left because my husband and I ate them all.
Surprise. But, oh, I'm surprised. If you hadn't, then there'd be a problem.
You'd be like, okay? Wait a minute, what's wrong here?
Oh, sorry. It happens.
But, you know, the cookies, they were individually wrapped, and yeah, they have the feel of the packaging is like, it's just really nice and smooth in your hand, but not yeah, slippery, right? And right, then it tears really nicely. And then yeah, you take the cookie out, and, you know, since I had to share with my husband, we would break the cookie in half, and the cookie broke, and just like the perfect little circle and all these little chips and stuff. And if you couldn't tell, I love food and I really love cookies. So I kind of like, I let it be a whole experience. Also, you know, yeah, knowing I was going to talk to you, I wanted to really be in the cookie.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it smelled so good, and it was soft, and the flavors were all just like really just well blended or whatever. And it just, it was wonderful and lovely.
Thank you.
And yeah, you're welcome. Well, thank you. Interesting.
It's interesting how, quite honestly, 30 years of perfection in some ways. You know what I mean? It really is. It's, I mean, I don't know how to make a bad cookie anymore. I do mm-hmm. not know how to make a bad cookie. Mm-hmm. I experiment and make bad cookies sometimes, but not, it's, I even still love my bad cookies. And unfortunately I have to eat my experiments. Kim, it's a hard job. Okay. Trust me. It's not as easy as I make it sound. Okay. You think it's easy. It's not easy. Okay.
Cookies all somebody's, day. Aw, shucks.
Somebody's got to do it.
You're a brave man, Ray. A brave man.
I know. So I'm so strong. Cookies. Damn cookies. I always tell people, shoot, I should have gotten the pencils. You know, I seriously, because man, you don't understand. People always ask, are you sick of them? Hey, I'm not sick of it. What's your favorite flavor? Freaking chocolate freaking chip, man. Still to this day.
Classic.
What the hell? But 30 years, thousands of cookies later, yeah, I still want more cookies. I always think I still have some cookies to make up. 7 years was a long time with no cookies.
Yeah.
With no eggs, no baked goods, nothing. It was 7 years of, I mean, that was a long, that's a long time. And I completely abstained from it. And I think that I got my gift. I think God gave me the gift of like, here you go. You asked for cookies. You prayed for the cookies.
Yeah.
Here you go, buddy.
You're going to be great at this.
Yeah. You boy, you're going to eat them all too. All of them.
So what's going on at Sunflower Baking Company? Like, is there anything new coming up, or is there something that you're excited or a little secret that you want to allude to but not tell us?
No, okay. But I will tell you this. I did recently start a website that says startaveganbusiness.com. Okay. And even you can find my cookies on there under buying cookies or something like that. The reason why I did that is because I'm always looking for someone who's as inspired as I am to make more products, to make new things, to come out with new stuff. I did make a business plan and a pitch deck to, I'd like to build one of the largest vegan facilities in the country. You know, it's going to take several million dollars, but I did make a business plan to make that, because I think, you know, I'm now kind of coming out of my shell, so to speak. I think because of the fact it's only 6% freaking, I think I always looked to realize I haven't even scratched the surface, man. We have not even scratched the surface for what I set out to do. I think I stopped for a while because I needed sort of a break. And then, for the most part, I realized, damn, I need to do more. Sometimes I'm sitting down, I'm thinking, I'm seeing crap on TV. You know, I see these pharmaceutical companies on TV, you know, have some kind of weird drug that has 20 different side effects to try to one cure. You know, you got this one rash. However, you're going to have diarrhea, sepsis, this and that.
Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, maybe I should jump in on this game. I need more to do. So I need to do more. That's really that. And I am constantly coming up with new stuff. I'm doing some stuff right now for people. I do stuff for other people. I make stuff for other people as well. But I'm always open to helping others come up with something. Can anyone come up with a better cookie? I dare you to try. Because you know what? I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
I've tried them all. I'm going to keep trying it. And that's one of the things that I think one of my secrets is just trying to build a bigger empire. That's what I have to do. That's my next thing is I want to get more people involved, hire more people, inspire more people, and make more cookies. That's right now, that's a big plate now. My plate's a little bit bigger, but it's still full.
Yeah.
So to speak.
So good. A vegan empire. Yes, please.
Yes. Yeah. Not like, you know, yeah, it'll be, yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. I'm good for that. I'm happy with that. I'm 30 years. I'm happy with being with my results so far, but I am still growing. I think we all can still, I'm 56 and I'm still growing.
Yeah. Know? And I think we always should be, you know, yeah. I think that looking back at various decades of your life, if you don't have a moment and go, I did that. Or I said that, or I'm so different now. Like, yeah. I think that you're doing it wrong if you don't have those moments and being open to growing and learning and changing. Like, what else is there?
You got to improve yourself. You know, it's in this, you know, strangely enough, as you get older, and you'll find this out when you're my age, that you are going to start to realize who your creator is, how your body functions, what you need to do to feel better. You know, I'm always looking at my parents like, oh my gosh, my parents are 70s or mid 70s, because my mom had us she was 18. But I start to think, gosh, when I get to that age, I want to be primo. Yeah. I want to be able to be functioning. I want to do things. I don't want to just be like an old wretched man, you know? And you have to change that now when you're a youth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think so youthful, so to speak.
Yeah.
I feel youthful for the most part, you know, but you have to, that's why you have to learn and grow. If you don't learn and grow, you will die.
Yes.
You will die with the cheese spoon in your hand.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep. Ray, this has been amazing. And I've got one more topic to cover.
Okay, go ahead.
Tell me about your favorite hummus or your favorite way to eat hummus.
I've been eating hummus all week, man. I think it's because of you. It's your fault.
Preparation. I'm eating cookies. Eating hummus.
Subliminal something, or rather.
Sending me messages.
Okay, so I love just the plain hummus. I like the garlic version, but the hummus just by itself with the little oil in those restaurants. Some of the fresh hummus I like better. Mm. But you know what? It's the non bread is my favorite way to eat it. The vegan non bread and crackers. My mouth's watering thinking about it right now. Sorry. Oh,
good.
But that's my thing. My thing is like the nice thick bread. Any really nice thick bread and hummus is my thing. It's all over. I have to stop myself from eating hummus. Yeah. I don't buy it now because I think, oh man, you know, hummus doesn't always agree with me, but I love hummus.
It is so good.
So good.
It's good.
Thanks for asking that question.
Yeah. Thanks for answering it. Ray, I have loved this conversation and I cannot wait for the listeners to hear it. Thank you so, so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It's fun. I appreciate it.
Welcome back. I had such a good time doing this interview. To keep up with Ray and all of his incredible projects, visit his websites, sunflowerbaking.com and startaveganbusiness.com. Find him on Facebook at Sunflower Baking Company, Instagram at Sunflower Baking Cookies, and on Twitter at The Cookie Man. Links to all of Ray's accounts, websites, and to his children's books can be found in the show notes. I hope you found this episode helpful and inspiring. Please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're loving it, please give Did You Bring the Hummus a 5-star rating and leave a review. It's an easy way to keep supporting the show. Be sure to share these episodes with your friends. If you're finding something good here, they will too. If you're a vegan or know a vegan who would be a great fit for the podcast, follow the Be a Guest link in the show notes. Fill out the quiz and I'll be in touch. I still have that freebie on my website. Sign up for my mailing list and get a PDF of 3 amazing vegan recipes. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Did You Bring the Hummus, and visit my website, didyoubringthehummus.com, for more information about me, updates on what I'm working on, new podcast episodes, and all things vegan. Finally, I would love to hear from you. What do you need help with? Is there a topic you want to hear covered on a future episode? DM me on Instagram or send me an email at didyoubringthehummus@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Thank you.